part. I guess if we can start in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I was this morning, I was way ahead of schedule, and I thought, I'm going to be early today. And so I said, you know what, you kids have been so proud of all you kids who came today and adults, I'll go buy you chips. And so no problem, I stopped the gas when I'm away, and I bought them all a bag of chips. There's only one kind of chips for kids, hot Cheetos, there's nothing else. That's all hot Cheetos. And so everything was great. So I go buy them hot chips, and I got time to head to church, perfect. And one of the girls says, Pastor, I forgot to lock my door. My mom may come back to church if I don't lock my door. I got to go home. Door. So I was late. And stuff happens, and you just got to God out loud and inside to do something else. We're in 1 Corinthians 3. We're learning about principles for witnessing, soul winning. And today I want to talk about cultivating a crop. And 1 Corinthians 3, let me just read a few verses starting at 5. Says, who then is Paul, who is Apollos, but ministers by whom believed? Even as the Lord gave every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, but every man shall receive his own reward to his own labor. For we are living together with God, ye are God's husband, ye are God's being. And so we're going to start to talk a little bit about out of this chapter, about tending crops, spiritual crops. Okay? And Lord, we pray you'd bless time, Lord. I pray you'd give us a profitable in your word. I ask you'd speak to our hearts and agree. I ask we'd learn to be soul winners and life builders and spiritual life planters and growers. Father, we need your wisdom and your word tells us how, Lord. And I pray today we would gather the wisdom we need and guidance from your word. Did you speak to our hearts and us, Lord, through your word. And we pray you'd help us and speak to us now, Father, your help. And Lord, we know you are the master of all building of lives and know how we should do it. So we look to you for guidance, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we said last week, just going back a little, last week is the best way to plant a lot of crops is to plant a lot of seeds. And we said that it is sowing seeds, and the seeds fall all over the place. We had a great example of that this last week is who knows where somebody put a track somewhere in the way, but a lady read the track week. And she called me crop. And she said, I prayed that. And I prayed this prayer to call you. And I just prayed that. And the first time in my life, I finally got it settled. And I understand that Christ paid it all. And I'm saved. Now, where she told me that track was, I've never been there. And I don't think I'm in the church. Who knows where that is. But it was in an amplified Bible in a place that I've never heard of. We don't use the Bible. And I don't know where that rehab was. But you know what? You sow a lot of seeds. A lot of things get planted. And you be Johnny Appleseed. And you get a lot of things planted. And so that's just sure you do that. Bible says, he that sparingly shall also reap sparingly. That's the thing we just covered last week. There's a lot of different types of ground. And those different types of ground, you get different type responses. But you sow a lot of seed, and a lot will land on good ground. And that you have to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and down in verse 5, we see several things. The first thing is lots of seed. But secondly is understand that growth is natural if conditioned right. Growth is natural if the conditions are right. And in chapter verse 6 says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We said last week, we looked at in the parable of the sower, he was sowing seed in Matthew, I think it's 13. And he had seed everywhere, and some landed on stone, and it grew. And some landed among thorns, and it grew. And some landed on the good ground, and it grew. And some the devil swallowed up, the bird came and took it away, and it didn't because it was... They got away, but understand all the time the seed where it landed. If it could grow, it'd grow. If it got away, it didn't grow. But if it was there, it because the seed is very powerful. And so saying that growth is natural if conditions are right. That's very important. And that principle is important in the way we disciple people, we win people, the way we witness to people. We believe in the power of the seed, and we believe that it is natural for a seed to grow. First of all, you got to have the right seed. But actually, before that, going to last week, you got ground. Who remembers one of the types of ground that were there? We just mentioned a second ago, but from last week. Who remembers a type of ground where it's up and then springs up quickly and then burns up? Okay. Thorn, that's one of the grounds, Matthew? Rocky? Okay. What happens to stuff on rocky ground? Doesn't have roots and it withers away. What happens to the ground? Chokes. Very good. Good ground stands up and does great. It's the ground that matters. The word of God is powerful. Who receives it? And the ground is different. Everybody's different. Who you talk to is different. And what they're prepared like. Find this, that when we a lot more, we find a lot better ground. God breaks at the ground. God does it, and God goes before us. In Acts 16, they met a lady named Lydia, whose heart the Lord had touched. Good ground, got saved, immediately had to do, use my house, search, and God prepared the good ground. As God says, I prepare, I go before you, the way. So prayer makes you have ground. The Holy Spirit's power makes good ground. It breaks up the ground. And do that. And so that's the way to get good ground. You got the right ground. Secondly, you got to have the right seed. By the way, if the ground isn't right, don't force it to grow. You got to pray that God will change their heart. You say, I'm witness to so-and-so, and they listen. I talk to a relative, and they get angry and family every time I witness to them. Maybe it's time to listen to them. Maybe you need to pray and let God tenderize their heart. Say, God, I put them into your hands. Work them over here, the gospel. You'll be surprised how things will start happening. I mean, they'll go through circumstance, they'll go through hard times, they'll go through trials and tribulations, and they or might do something, and all of a sudden one day they bring it up to you, that hard-hearted person. I've seen that happen several times, where they just weren't. We'll have people in church today that I get to come to church, I couldn't get to listen for years. So you got to have the right ground, and that's prayer, and that's asking God to do it. But secondly, you got to have the right seed, Now, in Mark chapter 4, verse 18, it says, the seed is the word. The seed is the word. And last week, 1 Peter 1, verse 3 to 25 says, that God is the incorruptible seed that liveth in a Bible forever. The Bible is the right seed. The church is the right seed. Your lecture is the right seed. Great apostolic arguments aren't the right seed. The seed is the Bible. If you don't use the Bible, you're not getting anything to grow. I believe you have the Bible. They have to hear the Bible if they're ever going to be saved. If that seed does not get planted and they cannot get saved, it's got to be God's perfect word. You've got to have it. If the seed is planted, it naturally grows. Somebody says, how do you know who got saved? They really meant it. How do you know? I don't know. But I do know the seed was. And a bunch of things happen when somebody gets saved. They're a nuclear, the Bible says. They get a new man planted inside them. The Bible says they get a spirit inside of them that cries, Abba, Father, naturally longing for God. They're born again. A whole bunch of things when they get the right seed planted. And so if the seed gets planted, you know that good things can happen because the seed naturally grows. So you've got to get the Bible into people. We saturate people with the Bible. It's vital to do that. Why? This is the key right here. When we are working with somebody, when we want to win them to Christ and we want to see their life change, we're going to saturate them in the Bible. Why? There are a bunch of things that are going to naturally growth come forth and make them come alive, and make them grow. Number one, the Bible brings life. So it said, you're born of incorruptible seed that liveth and abideth forever. The word of God. So automatically the seed gets planted and the seed brings forth life. You don't seed and say, okay, seed, I'm going to manipulate you and talk to you into it. Please grow. If it's the right seed in the right soil, it grows naturally. It just happens. It's just healthy. The word of God, it brings life truly. It changes life. It brings salvation. And the Bible says that. Secondly, it gives us. The Bible says people. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Thirdly, it's very powerful in lives. The Bible says the word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the spirit, and is the discerner of the intents of the heart. So, the word of God is going to do amazing things in their life. Now, here's the thing. We believe this. We'll use a lot of scripture in the Sunday lesson today. I will use a lot of scripture in the message today. I will, when I'm discipling somebody, our discipleship program, a bunch of verses. Say a simple thing. The Bible is very powerful. Then we'll get verses out. It's a bunch of verses. When I preach, I'm going to quote a bunch of verses. I'm going to read a bunch of verses. When somebody asks me a question, I'm going to give them a bunch of Bible verses. We're going to do a Bible reading chart and try to get them to read the Bible in a year. We're going to give you a memorization verse a week in church. Bible, Bible, Bible. Why is that? I want you to understand this. The Bible has a combined effect on people. You may say, well, you know what? Quoted them, knowing not the unrighteous and not inherit the kingdom of God, and they didn't decide not to be unrighteous anymore. That is not necessarily how the Bible is going to work. It may work that way. But what I've found in working with people and discipling people and with Christ is, it is not an argument I give, just one moment when I quote a verse. The Bible washes them. The Bible changes them. And if you can get them a whole bunch of Bible, they will just start growing normally. They will start cheating naturally. They'll start to get clean naturally. Many of you have watched. You've got somebody in church, and you'll come and say, yes, sir, they're still doing this and this and this. And I'll say, you know what, though? They're coming to church. And Bible, right? Yeah, we got them reading the Bible every day. I just give it a little while. Give it a little while. I don't come to you. Nobody in this room I've come to before and said, you know, you have to stop this and this and this and this and this. That's not the way I pastor. You do that, though. You know why? Because we do the right conditions for you to grow. And pretty soon, you're reading your Bible. And you're getting cleansed. And you're in the Word. And you're hearing the preaching. And you're getting the Word of God. And it starts doing start. And all of a sudden, you start saying, Pastor, I think I really need to stop this thing. And I say, I agree. I've been thinking that for a while. Now, I might preach on it on Sunday. I might say, this is good, and you shouldn't do this. But I believe if you get the Word of God, the Word of God gets in you. It's changing you. It's convicting you. It is not where you... So understand this. What am I saying? If you want to see a life change and you want to see impact somebody, what you need to do is go and get the Word of God around them. Buy them a Bible on CD. Let them listen to it. And a Bible on MP3. Let them have a preaching. Let them get around a good church that's going to give them the Word. By the way, I don't care if the preacher's a good preacher or bad preacher or talented or he's a mean guy or he can intimidate people or he's, when he preaches, so convincing or he makes me cry or if I don't care about any of that. I just want to know if they have a bunch of Bible when they preach. That's all I want. I believe that a preacher with a lot of Bible has way more impact than a fantastic preacher who can do amazing things and tell great stories who doesn't use a lot of Bible. And there's a lot of preachers who don't use a lot of Bible. A lot of good preachers. A lot of my friends who I love in the ministry, and they don't use a lot of Bible. Because we think all these little cute tools we have and illustrations and ideas and story poems, and all those are great, fine. I'm just telling you, the Bible has an impact on people. You know, if I don't get people reading their Bible on their own, I'm not going to see their life changed. Period. So, are you saying, Pastor, if they're not going to read the Bible and not going to get the Bible during the week, you're saying it's just hopeless, they're not going to become a good... Yes. 23, 24 years of disciples told me that. That's when you come to Open Door, I'm all over your Bible through. All the time. Because it has any... Well, Pastor, I didn't just read one verse and my life changed. Is your life changed? Well, yeah. It wasn't just like I read a verse. No, it wasn't. But the Bible flowing through you, it's water and it's watering you. You're standing underneath the waterfalls. And so I didn't get clean all at once. It wasn't one water that made me clean. No. But you got a whole bunch of water and it cleanses you. I didn't remember everything. Bible doesn't say you have to. Washing of the water of the word, sanctify them to thy truth, thy word is truth. I've told a story many times about the man, who, the grandpa, who told his grandson, go get me some water, and go take that basket there. And goes and takes a basket, and he goes down to the creek, and he walks back up, but it's a wicker basket, and he back up there, and he gets up to his grandpa and says, here it is, but there's no water in it. And he says, that's okay. He says, go get me some water. I don't know if I can get any water in this thing. It's it just leaks all the water through. So he says, go get me some water. So he goes down in the creek. And this time he runs up there as fast as he can. And he gets up there and the last of the water is just leaking out. He says, water left. And he says, go get me some water. He goes down there. It's all planned out. He gets to where the creek sticks out. This gets it in there. Runs as fast as he can. Keeps it level as fast as he can. Okay, grabs a little water left, but it's all draining out. Hopeless. I'm never going to get any water. I'm not keeping it. He said, that's okay. He said, I want the water. I didn't need the water. I just want us to get clean. And when you go and you get the water flowing through your word, it just cleanses you. You say, I don't remember everything. Pastor, I read this. And I don't know what he's talking about, sprinkling the big toe of the left foot of the, I don't even know what. But you read it. And so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so, so-and-so. Oh, Pastor, why did I read this? I don't understand it. This is the Bible. Later you'll understand the Bible, but when you read it, it'll cleanse you. But you know what? So-and-so begat, so-and-so tell me to quit doing drugs or quit doing what I'm doing, Pastor. It doesn't matter. You're cleansed by the Word. And so you read it. Natural, there's a bunch of natural conditions that actually make things grow. The new life is very powerful. Just let the seed shoot up. Very important here. This is a lot of good churches make a big mistake with this. This is humorous to me. Christians are nuts. Okay? They're crazy. I don't know why that is. But when they grow, they're nuts. They witness everybody everywhere in the most inappropriate spot. I remember a pastor telling about that a guy in Bible college who Mr. Zeal, Mr. New Christian Passion, and they went to a restaurant and they're getting ready to eat, and he stood up and said, rang his fork on his cup. Ding 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 ding. Excuse me, everybody. We're Christians here and we're gonna pray our food. I'd just like to ask all of you to do your heads with me for prayer while we eat our food. I mean, I'd be sliding under the table. And I don't think you should do that. That guff, but you know. What happens? A Christian gets really, really zealous. And they start going, and here's they embarrass me. They come and say, Pastor, you said read your Bible a bunch this week. I remember I had a girl started growing, and she was riding the bus, and she was this girl. And she started coming to church, and she did, she didn't know how to be balanced yet. And very slow reader, terrible public schools, and she grew up in Spanish and had to learn English, and so she read very slow. She's in fifth grade, and her name is Monique. I said, you need to read your Bible. I bought her a Bible. I couldn't afford a Bible except for in the lost and found order. I found a Bible that was missing of Revelation, a couple books at the end, and didn't have a cover. I was so embarrassed to give it to her, but it's all I could afford, and she didn't have a Bible. So I gave her the Bible. I see this a lot every day. It's very important. Read your Bible, Monique. She says, okay, I'll read it this week. She hugged her Bible. She's had it. Glad I have a Bible. Next Saturday comes around, a visitor. You read your Bible, says, oh, we read it every day. I made Alfonso read it with me, her little brother. So I grabbed him by the ear and made him read it with me. And her little brother, Alfonso. And so she read it. I said, well, how much did you read? She says, well, this week I read the book of Genesis. Well, Genesis is 50 chapters, and she's slow. And I said, how long did that take? First she asked me, I read the book of Genesis. I only read one book. I said, is that enough? I said, how long did that take? She says, it took between 3 and 4 hours a day of reading. Said, that'll do. I don't read my Bible for 3 or 4 hours in Bible college. But yeah, new Christians got all the zeal. They're a plant that just flying up. You know, when you watch coral, it grows really fast for a short amount of time. It kind of levels off and it goes. It doesn't come up at all for a while. Then all of a sudden, let new Christians fly. The old Christians embarrass and say, you know what? Let me tell you the truth. I read a Bible every day and I only read it for 20 minutes. You dummy. You tell them that's awesome and I should do like you should. You do it. Christians naturally grow and let them grow fast. Just because you're like what it ought to be, I wasn't very spiritual, thou unintelligent one. Just because they're growing great does not mean you should. Just because they convict you doesn't. Well, you know what? You don't really need to witness to everybody you see. Well, maybe you should. Let the new Christians take off, inspire their fire, and learn from it. And it's natural that they grow, and they grow fast. It's a lot easier to balance them out later and teach them not to stand up in the middle of a restaurant than to get them to go witness when they're not witnessing. It's a lot easier to have a fire than to start a fire. It's a lot easier to make a fire smaller. When you pour water on a fire, it's real hard to reach. And don't do that. Let Christians grow. They love growing. And so let them grow. Seeds need watered. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3. We're going to give them all the right conditions. If the conditions are right, it's natural. You didn't need to force someone to become spiritual. And we don't say, you've got to do this, got to do this. We're putting them in the right position where they're actually going to grow. Understand that that's a philosophy. I've never had anybody teach me. I've had to learn time. New Christians naturally grow when they're in the right conditions. It's natural for Christians to grow into the right conditions. But they need watered. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Planted, that's part of it. Tallest watered, but God the increase. Water them. How do you get them watered? How do you water to them? Just a couple, two ways that are in the Bible, I think, that'll help us. Go to John 15. A couple ways in the Bible you can, Christians get watered. By the Christians and new Christians, we can see an old girl and become godly and change, even if they've been here for 20 years and are dead now. If you put conditions and they're saved, it's natural. If growth never comes, then we don't believe they're saved because it's natural to grow. We don't know the time schedule on that. You didn't see any spiritual growth in me for a year, but I was changing inside after I was saved. Growth is natural if they're truly saved. Never any growth, never any conviction. Bible says, without chastisements, then you bastards and saved. You're not born again. You don't have it inside of you. You're not born again. Never any conviction. If the Spirit of God's not inside and there's no desire to grow, and the dead. Then there's no growth there. If you're saved, you naturally grow if you're under the right conditions. Under the wrong conditions, you get choked out. And you might die, you might wither, and you might not grow. Right condition, growth is natural. 15, first of all, if you want them to get watered, plug them into Jesus. John 15, verse, abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot root of itself, except that abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I in the vine, ye the branches, he that hath in me, and I in him, the same bringeth much fruit, for without me do nothing. The Jesus Christ life of man, if you get plugged into Jesus, they will grow. You get life from him, he's the vine, that's they get water from. Listen, to the end of a tree gets it from the main root and the main branch. And Jesus called both the branch, main vine, and he's also called the root. Understand, Jesus is what changes them. Your ability to change them, so much easier to work with people, and it's more fun to try to help people when you realize it's not you. Well, I tell them everything, and they just don't listen. It's not you who's going to change. You should tell them, and each witness them, and give them the Bible, and love them, and pray for all the things, and lecture them, and do everything you feel like doing. Great, nothing wrong with that at all. Tell them, and that's great. Work with them, Bible. But understand that only Jesus is going to change him. The church can't change him. The only church can do is get him to Jesus. See, Jesus says that in the midst of the church. So when you're at church today, you're Jesus. He walks in the middle of the church. You're going to be influenced because you're around Jesus, not because of me. If you're influenced because of me, it's because I plug Jesus. That's why I want you to walk with God. That's why I work very hard. Let me teach you how to have a prayer life. Let me teach you how to read your Bible. And we get you to read your Bible and pray and go to and you'll grow. If you do that, and if we can't get you to go to church, get you to read your Bible, and can't get you to pray, you're plugged into Jesus, and you cannot grow. And I say, I'm just going to be spiritual. That doesn't work. You know how many Christians over the years say, I'm just going to change my life and become a great Christian? I don't know how you become a great Christian. You could do everything a great Christian is supposed to do, and every action by your willpower, and you're still not a good Christian because you're not to God. And being a good Christian is walking with God and knowing him personally. And this is life. They might know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, who now has sent. Do you know God? Are they plugged into God? They've got their own personal relationship with God and walk with God. That's how their life is changed by Jesus. I've always said, we bring them to Jesus. Jesus changes them. You get them close to God, God will change them. It's because we got a great plan. So first, plug them into him. That's through Bible reading, prayer. And secondly, is tears. How do you water? Let's go to Psalms. Tears. Psalms 1:6. And verse 5 and 6 are exactly what we're talking about here. Psalms 1:6. Verse 5. They sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There it says, sowing, planting with tears. And he that soweth shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, word of God. Notice that. You got tears. Word of God shall doubtless come again, rejoicing his sheaves. Sheaves are piles of crops, blessings. Bringing his sheaves with. When people, when those who are growing now, serving other people, and many of you not now, and you're entering the ministry, and that's awesome. And I don't mean straight. I mean you're entering the ministry of serving people and winning people and discipling people and trying to help and influence people. When you begin to do that, you very soon get a broken heart for people, and you get very frustrated. Can we say, Pastor, do you ever have anybody listen to you? Have you ever told anybody what they're doing and they're doing the stupidest thing in the world and you explain, you tell them, and they do it anyway? Which, are you kidding me? You know how many issues are going to be in church this morning that are really bad issues? Talked up somebody going to our church yesterday, shook their head, and they're really happy. A person who grew up in a house whose mother was a pot grower. I know that smell real good. All them. And people ruin their lives, and they say, you know what? I just need some time for a while. I'm not doing very good, so I'm going to be away from church for a while. And I go, and you're going to not to church for a long time and come back with your life ruined. And it's broken for people. You see teens mess up their life. You see adults mess up their life. You see them not stay married. You see them raise their kids. You see them do all kinds. And you know what? A broken heart for people. And by the way, you get in God's heart and seeing the multitude, you're moved with compassion. And you look out to somebody you don't even know and say, my heart breaks for them. I want to be saved. And you say, why do I care so much about them? Why? Because God gives you his heart, which is broken and loving. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, stone to them which ascend into the hour off, and I've gathered as a hen hath gathered chicks under her wings, and you would not. and you get God for people, and you begin to weep. And you say, man, this is sad. This is discouraging sometimes. And it is. But you know what you do? You do, Pastor. You weep. And when you water people's lives with some tears, you rejoice. You'd be surprised how it'll change when you've wept over them. You'd be surprised how God will have an impact on a group of people, a church, when somebody weeps because those crops are pretty dry. You weep for people. You get a broken heart. Bible says, though, if you will do that, come back with rejoicing. She's with you. See, if you can get to the point of weeping for people, you'll come back with great reward. See those lives changed. And reward. It's worth, so you water them with tears. And so you do that, and you'll add conditions for them. Somebody weeping for them. Next, the right conditions for growth are the right ground, the right seed. The seed needs watered. And have a good fur around them. Go back to 1 Corinthians 3. I say Jesus can change them. I believe that. I say he has the life, and that's true. I believe he'll change them, but understand, you got to have the right farmer around them. Somebody's got to know how to deal with the crop. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, I planted, Apollos one, but God gave the increase. Who was the ones who worked with the crops? Paul and Apollos. What do? God gave the increase. God did not plant. God did not water. God gave the increase. It was God's power that changed them. Understood that. But if there's crops and no watering, happens. Somebody planted, somebody watered. God gave the increase. It's fascinating. He says, verse 10, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's, that means garden. You are God's garden. And me and Apollos are laboring together in God's garden with God for you. You're God's building. 10, Paul says, you are a building. And he says, according to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder. I am a person who knows how to build a life. Verse 2, it says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, nor are you now able. Fascinating. Paul says, I chose not to feed you meat. I chose to feed milk because I am a person who knows how to build a life. What does that mean, Pastor? Somebody has to have wisdom of how to build a life. You destroy a life with good intention. Many a church and many as a Christian who's gone and with somebody about some certain sin in life and pounded about that one sin and keep on killing that one, and you haven't even worried about getting them to read the Bible yet. Clean up that sin, they're still not spiritual. You haven't got them to pray. Be sure to get them to quit smoking. You get them to deeper dispensations and for covenants, but you haven't yet taught them God so loved the world. See, it takes somebody who knows how to. Somebody knows how to plant. Somebody's got to work in that life and help them along. Somebody's got to have wisdom to say, I give you kind words right now, and now I need to rip your face off. And right now I need to step on your right now I need to just give you some real basic truth. And it takes some wisdom. And you have to realize somebody's got to pull the weeds. Somebody's got to go and water it. What do I put in that crop? And you've got to get into the Word of God and learn, because they've got to get around people who know how to build lives. And you need to learn how to do that and help influence. Somebody's got to build, somebody's got to plant, somebody's got to feed them with the right food and everything else. You feed different crops different ways. Next, you get them to greenhouse. Get a good greenhouse. I don't think I have time right now, but Acts chapter 2, it said it daily. And in the church, daily, and great grace was upon them all. And they grew and were changed, and they learned doctrine in the church. The church is a greenhouse for Christians. It's a place where the world's not in your holy. If the church is doing things right, the world's not tearing them down. We're not getting gossiped, tearing each other down. We're encouraging one another. We're going to sing songs about God, not the music we hear all week long. We're going to learn the Bible. We're going to pray. We're going to help each other. And when one of us is falling, we're going to go encourage them. It is a greenhouse. You're going to hear the Word of God. It is a greenhouse where you can start growing. You get them a pastor. The Bible says, Hebrews 13, 17, it says, for they work for your souls. You get them one who can watch and know the Spirit and say, let me be the under-shepherd for you and guide you, because we're talked about as sheep. Let me tell you and warn you when you're doing something wrong and when you're injured. Let me help you to serve God and help you to have things. You put them around a pastor. Everybody pastor biblically. Somebody's got to watch souls, and that's an important thing. And put them in the greenhouse. And last of all, I know we read this, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7, It says, verse 6, I planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Remember that God gives the increase. Remember that your best efforts aren't enough. You've got to pray that God will do something. You can do everything according to the plan. You can get a discipleship book or what you want to do and try to help somebody. Listen, I many times, all the time, go to God and say, I have no idea what to do with them. You've got to change them. And I believe if I even know what to do and I do everything right according to what the biblical steps to get their life changed, I understand that it's not enough. God's got it. And you know what the wonderful thing is? You may not know how to deal with it or help somebody or how to fix or how to get them out of their addiction or sin. But you know what? If you will pray and do your best and just try and ask God to help you, you'll find out he'll give the increase. He blesses. You don't have to know everything. It's God ultimately. And you know what? If this church is ever blessed, if your life's already blessed and my life's what it ought to be, and if all those things are to happen, it's got to be God. And you don't go there arrogantly thinking, I know what I'm doing, and I can do, I'm just so this, and I'm so that. And you're never saying, if I just do these steps, this will happen. No, it is always up to God. It is always up to God's power, God's blessing. And you know what? When you get God blessing, and you do the wise things of the Bible, get them into the Word, and get them into church, and get them plugged into God, and you get the all those different things you're supposed to water the ground, you know what? Growth is natural. It's not forced. They naturally become good Christians. I've been so excited this year of how fast some of you are reading your Bibles through. We have two people who are already done with their Bibles this year. This year, two people. Man, that water, that much of the cleansing of the Word, that boy, you can't help but have people just speeched. The right conditions cause good actions. Not just people have the right actions on the inside, but people who love God, who walk with him, who give him glory and have his blessing in their life. It's natural. It's natural under the right conditions. We've got to get him in the right conditions, and we ourselves got to get in the right conditions and be very careful to be in a spot of growth. All right. Let's cultivate some crops. Let's pray. Dismiss until church time. Lord, I pray we'd be people who get right conditions ourselves, Father, for growth. It's natural to grow as a Christian. We have the Holy Spirit, Lord. We have the Word of God. We have the breathable seed, the King James Bible, Father, and your Spirit, and your all tools, Lord. We have all the things, you, the life of God inside of us, Lord, your Holy Spirit, the Almighty. Why wouldn't we grow, Father? It's natural for us to grow. It's natural for new Christians to grow. It's natural for saved people to grow, Father. But Lord, we got to get in the conditions. Watered, seed. Lord, we got to get plugged. You, Lord, all these different steps. I pray to be people who grow ourselves. And I pray to be people who take other people and get them in the right conditions to grow. And may we see both. It's the natural, Father. And help us to do this and see your blessing and change lives. And we thank you for the chance to grow in you. We pray this and just you bless the service to follow. We pray this in Jesus' name.